But this morning, I wanted to speak on Psalm, mostly on Psalm 127 and the implications of that. So the title of my message is, Lo, Children Are an Heritage of the Lord. And so let's turn to Psalm 127. And I believe Brother David was asking about continuing on in that Bible study we were having, what makes us different from the world? How are we set apart from the world, practically speaking? I think this is definitely one of those ways that we are set apart from the world, something that people notice about us, and it's a blessing. It's an opportunity for us. So let's read Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. He shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And so, that's the title, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So, just, children don't come automatically. We see in the scriptures, we read of some of the ancient patriarchs, they were without children. The women were barren. And the Lord needed to open their wombs. So it's just not an automatic thing. If you're thinking about getting married someday, hoping to, and just don't assume that children are automatically going to be given you, because they're something that God has to do there. It seems like open the womb. But they're definitely a blessing, a reward from him. And so I want to take a look at this word heritage. It's the word nakala in the Hebrew. And there are three different passages in the Word of God where this word is used. Four. So one in Psalm 127 there we just read, and then one in Isaiah 54:17. It says, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's an amazing scripture right there. But the heritage of the servants of God is that their righteousness comes from God. The heritage is something that you inherit. Okay, in Isaiah 58, then, a few chapters later, it says, Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Something that they're going to inherit from their father, Jacob, that God will cause them to ride upon the high places of the earth. He's going to set them higher. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 17, it says, Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God? So here, Joel is pleading with God, saying, Don't allow thy people, your heritage, God. So he's telling God that, Your people are something you inherit, God. So God is inheriting something in a sense. He's inheriting us. Isn't that a blessing? We're His, God's inheritance. Of course, we know that that's not in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense. And so this heritage of the Lord is something that we inherit. It's an inheritance. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Now, who doesn't want an inheritance, right? If I tell you, tomorrow, you're going to get your inheritance tomorrow. We say, I've got to do my laundry. I'm not going to go and pick up that whatever it is. I'm not going to go to the lawyer's office and do that. I'm going to do something else tomorrow. No, if you heard you have an inheritance waiting for you, you're going to show up. So who doesn't want children? Because they're an inheritance of the Lord. Well, certainly someone who's ungodly, I guess, wouldn't want that. Because they don't see the value. You know, when we become a believer, we value the things that God values, and we hate the things that God hates, right? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus did. He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And Jesus said about the world, he said, the things which are highly esteemed among men are abomination in the sight of God. So the world and its values are totally opposed to the kingdom of God, and God and his values. They're diametrically opposed. So don't wonder greatly if the world doesn't see your big family as a blessing. What they normally do is go, what? That many children? 11 children? Or your kid's brother David, what? 4? And you're having more? Are you okay? You know, like, yes, I'm okay. I'm more than okay, right? I'm living the abundant life, which you don't know anything about. But yes, so we want you to know about it. The abundant life that God gives. You know, there it's a reward. And when we read Psalm 128, we'll see what kind of family life it is. But yeah, there's a reward with children. They're a blessing. They're a blessing from the Lord. They're arrows in the hand of a mighty man. If you have a quiver, do you want just one or two arrows in your quiver? Or would you rather have a full quiver? You want a full quiver. A mighty man does. And it says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, a man that has many, many arrows in his quiver is not going to be ashamed in a battle. So let's read Psalm 128 as well. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Amen. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Wow. Who doesn't want to be there? Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Long life and getting to see grandchildren. Wow. Happy, prosperous, well with thee, a wife, a fruitful vine, the children like olive plants around thy table. You know, when someone comes to our house and they sit at our table and we're all there together, we're not all on our phones or we're not, you know, scrambling around, but we're all seated around the table, it's impressive to them. It's because in an ungodly world, it's rare to see godliness and in a family in order where the children are all sitting around the table and they're smiling and they're happy and there's food there and we're enjoying each other. It's a blessing. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. And that's in the Proverbs there. So we have a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. We don't have the thoughts of the world. And I was shocked one time I heard how there were some Christians who were given advice when they were newly married that they ought to, you know, limit the size of their family. Right at the beginning, they were told this. And I was in shock. I was like, wow, I never heard that before. I never heard people who claim to love the Lord and to love his word and love his ways. And yet they were being given advice by people who are in authority. Well, let's let God be an authority over us. Let's let his word direct our path. You know, Psalm 1 is very crucial in the Christian's life. It says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. So, yes, we're given advice. I mean, that was David's advice to Solomon, wasn't it? Cease, my son, to hear those words. So, it's not an automatic thing that we're given children. I remember on the day of our wedding, someone prayed, said, "Lord, open the womb, give them children." And praise the Lord, God did that for us. I remember as a young man before I got married, I was desiring to have a family and have children. Wondered if it would ever happen, and the Lord has been so good to me. It's God's blessing. And it's also a blessing from God, and it's also something that I particularly need to do is to bless my children. And I'm hoping we can do that today in a very practical way. We can bless each other, and it will be a blessing. I know it will be. So in the very beginning, God says, when he makes everything good, he blesses man. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and he blesses us. And God is a God of blessing. And we see in the patriarchs bless their children, put their hands on them, bless them. And we even see God, the Father, blessing Jesus. I don't know when you think that was, but remember there was a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. That's a blessing. That was a blessing from God. You know, if God tells us that we should bless and curse not, then certainly he does it, right? God is always the one that is our example, and so he did that. He blessed us in the beginning. The Father blesses the Son, the Lord Jesus. We're told to even bless our enemies. And we are blessed of the Lord, it says in Psalm 115, right? Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We have a book that tells us about all of God's blessings and how many ways that he assures us that we're his children. Jesus, in fact, says that when we bless our enemies, that we're going to be like the children of the highest. And he means by the highest, he means God himself. That when we bless others, that we'll be children of the highest. That's Luke 6:35. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's who we'll be. We'll be the children of the highest. God will be our Father, and we will be his children. And when Jesus told us that we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him? God is a good Father. So, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God says this. God says of Abraham, for I know him. Talking about Abraham. He says, I know Abraham. For I know him. That he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. That God blessed Abraham and he wanted to bless him. And he chose him because he knew him. That he would command his children and his household after him. Not just his children. He was also concerned about those who were born in his house, his servants, right? He was concerned about their relationship with God, to keep the way of the Lord. This is before the Mosaic covenant. This is before all those laws that God had. But Abraham was going to keep the way of the Lord. And what way is that? Well, he says right here, to do justice and judgment. You see, God isn't just a God about laws, like do this, don't do this, and eat this, don't eat that, and wear this, don't wear that. He's a God about justice and judgment, the right thing to do. To do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To do the right thing. That's the God. He's the God of righteousness. And so God knew that Abraham was going to command his household and his children after him to keep the way of the Lord. And he blessed them. So blessings are part of being a child of God. We bless and we are blessed. But there's also some responsibilities that go with having children. Weighty responsibilities, because these are little souls. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have these commands of God. So let's turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's start with verse 4. This is the Shema, the proclamation. 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Echad. One Lord. Same thing about man and woman shall be one flesh. They too shall be one flesh. Echad. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. No half-hearted person here, right? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, can a person be too radical? This sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? I mean, he sounds like that's all he thinks about. Laying down, rising up, walking along the way, sitting in your house. All about God. But I mean, one time we had someone say, y'all are just too much. Something like that. Like, y'all are just all out or something. They're too much. And I think that's a compliment. But, I mean, I don't think we're as all out as we need to be. We need to be, I mean, God forbid we think we're just all out and we're done. We let up and we just, no, we need more. You know, more of this rising up and sitting down and walking along the way. We need more of that. But here, this is what we should be doing. Because it says we're wholehearted, right? Love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your might. I mean, are we embarrassed? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Why should we be ashamed of something that gives us life, that of the gospel that has changed us, given us life and hope? You know, this world, I've said it before, I'll say it again. This world puts on a front. They even have a name for it, the Facebook face. It's not real. They don't live a real life. You know, this man I was just talking to recently told me, like, he just poured out all his past, his history, right? I'm not going to name him. But, you know, people are hurting. People have a past. They have wounds. They have walked in this world, and they've been, like Jesus said, they've been stained by it, right? And they need a cleansing. But they put on a face, you know? They put on a show. Everything's fine. But the Bible says, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They're like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, foaming out its shame. So let's not be fooled by Facebook faces. Let's not be fooled by the devil, deceived by him into thinking the world is okay, you know, they don't need Jesus, you know, that's what the devil would whisper. They look fine, they don't need Jesus, they don't need you to tell them the gospel. No, everybody ought to know, like the song says, who Jesus is. So here we have the scriptures, God telling us that when we walk along the way and do all these things, we're supposed to train up our children, catechize them, teach them doctrine, the word of God. Paul says to Timothy that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I'm not sure if I can get the rest of that, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, something like that. And so, from a child, that's obviously sounds like Deuteronomy here, right? Someone was doing their work. And also here, it not only says to teach them diligently to thy children, but it also says that we should bind them for a sign upon our hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now you think you're radical. You think you're radical by putting scripture on your van. Try putting it on your forehead, like not tattooing it, I'm talking about, but having a box there or something maybe, or maybe tying scripture on your the back of your hand. How about that one? When you are tempted to think, well, am I being too radical? Yeah, here God was saying, you should put it on your forehead and write it on your gates. I want to do that. I can't wait to do that. When we go down the lane, we're going to put a big sign with a big old scripture right there. We already have it on our vehicles, right? We have it in our hearts. God says, write it on your, put it on your, in a, on your forehead there. Have it right in front of your mind there, on your hands. On your gates, on the doorposts of your house. Can you be too radical with the Word of God? Can you be too much about all about what God is saying and loving Him with all of your heart and teaching them to your children? Your children should see this on their walls and they should be memorizing scriptures because it's all over your house. That's our responsibility. And not only just showing them the Word, but you know, we hear about so many people who get offended because they see hypocrisy. You know, somebody does something wrong and they offend. You know, and Jesus said it would be better to tie a millstone about your neck and you'd be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones which believe in me. It's really important that we don't do that. We don't be a stumbling block. You know, Paul talks about that with adults, right? About being a stumbling block to other people. Let's not be that to our children or other people's children, whoever it is. But let's be true men of God, like Joseph's brother said. We are true men, I said to Joseph. We be no spies. Let's be true men. So there's a responsibility with children. There's a blessing with children. And we're not to have the same thoughts the world has about children. In Malachi 2:15, God's talking about divorce here, the putting away. And He made the two one, and He's asking the question, and did not He make one? These two people made them one. God, just like He is one, just like Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, Echad. And did not He make one, yet had He the residue of the Spirit, and were for one. Why did He make these two people one? What's the purpose? That He might seek a godly seed. A godly seed. That's we're not just raising the next bunch of heathen, right? It's the Christian parents that are raising godly children that have been taught God's values, right? God wants a godly seed. And let's do our jobs in teaching as we sit in the house, as we lie down, as we walk along the way, as we're an example to our children. To make a godly seed, because God is seeking that. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Well, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts, because the Bible says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. And also says, if any man thinketh he standeth firm, take heed, lest he fall. Guard your hearts. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we're also supposed to train our children. In Proverbs 29:15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." Children need correction. They shouldn't just be left to themselves, because it says in the second part of that verse, "But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Children do need correction, and the rod and the reproof give wisdom. And here's a blessed promise, that if you will train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is what we're supposed to be doing, teaching our children, like Deuteronomy 6 says, training them up in the way that he should go, in the right ways of the Lord. The Lord's ways are right ways. So I hope this is a blessing and an encouragement to all of us today, talking about children and how blessed they are. And I know every one of us is valuable to God, like we mentioned this morning, that it's not about what we can do for God that makes us valuable. It's about who we are. You know, a special needs child, a child that's maybe a Down syndrome or whatever, a child that's born without arms and legs. There are children born like that. Are they not valuable? They're very valuable, because we're not our body. We are more than just a body. And God promised us, like what Brother David shared about this morning in the resurrection, that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul said he labored more abundantly than they all. All these shipwrecks, all these beatings, these stonings, these floggings. He went through a lot. And if it was just for this life, then why did he go through all that torture? But he was waiting for the resurrection. That was where his hope was. And so we can say confidently to those people whom the consequences of sin have fallen on. For instance, my own son here, right? Or other people's children. Look, this life isn't the only life. There's a promise of a world to come. Eternal life. We can give such hope that we know, we're persuaded that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. And that we are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That we are God's children by inheritance. You know, we're God's children because he made us. But we're rebellious children when we sin against him. But then we become adopted children into God's family. You know, no one can doubt that you can become a part of someone's family when you're born to them. But when you're adopted, it's saying, "I want you. I'm going out of my way to make you a part of my family." And that's what God has done. And so we rejoice in him, and we thank him for his goodness and for adopting us. And in that spirit of adoption we have, as the scriptures say, that we cry out, "Abba, Father," to him. So I just thought that would be a blessing to you, just to meditate on the heritage of the Lord, and that children are a blessing from God. Let's be diligent to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And God bless you all.